is the book of Genesis, chapter 17. Genesis chapter 17. Last week we watched as Abram was once again tested by God. We learned that this testing has been taking place now, as we've studied, for 10 years in the life of Abraham, and that the testing was for a good reason. God was going to make a nation out of this man, Abram, and he was going to bring salvation to the earth, all the world, through that nation he was creating through Abram. We learn that testing will come to those who are called by God. Testing qualified those who were called by God, and that testing made those who were called capable of completing the task God has called them to. We learn that Abram failed this particular task, and this brought misery to himself, to his wife Sarah, to Hagar, Sarah's servant. It brought about misery to everybody. We came to understand that all Abram had to do was to trust God, to trust God's word, and to patiently wait on God's timing. And if he would do this, he would have peace and joy in his life. And this is the reason why many of us don't have peace and joy in our life, because we want to do things on our time, not God's time, and we get ahead of God. Tonight, we're going to see if Abram is now willing to listen and trust God now. Now listen, what we're going to see tonight is a hard thing. It's a hard thing. One of the hardest things I ever had to do when my two boys were born. I didn't have to worry about this when Emily was born, but when my two boys were born, I'll never forget it. And those of you who had boys, you know exactly what I'm saying. A couple days after, or the day after Kyle and Alex were both born, the nurse came in, and the first time it was really a shocker. The second time we were kind of prepared for it. But they came in the day of or the day after Kyle was born, and they said, "We're going to take him back for his circumcision in a few minutes." Okay, well, I mean, we knew that it was going to happen, right? Knew it was going to happen, but they kind of tell you that kind of stuff before, you know, it takes place, after they tell you it's a boy. But church, I was not prepared to change the diaper after the circumcision. Y'all remember that? That wasn't pleasant. It wasn't nice at all. So I know that some of y'all are going to have to go home and your children are going to look at you and say, "Mom, what is a circumcision?" Listen, you're just going to have to explain it. My phone's going off as soon as I get done with this message. So turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Genesis chapter 17. Kind of unusual. I'm glad we got this whole circumcision thing straight before I turned 47. Wow. I wouldn't want to do what Abram had to do tonight. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him, saying, "I am God Almighty. Live in my presence and be devout. I will establish my covenant between me and you, and I will multiply you greatly." Then Abram fell to the ground, and God spoke with him. "As for me, my covenant with you is with you, and you will become the father of many nations. Your name will no longer be Abram." Thank you, goodness gracious. I'm glad. Finally, after chapter 17, I won't fumble anymore. I can call him Abram and it'll be right? Abraham, and it'll be right. "My covenant is with you, and you will become the father of many nations. Your name will no longer be Abram, but your name will be Abraham. For I will make you the father of many nations. I will make you extremely fruitful, and will make nations and kings from you. I will keep my covenant between me and you and your offspring after you throughout their generations as an everlasting covenant to you and to be your God and the God of your offspring after you. And you and your offspring after you will give the land, I will give the land where you are residing, all the land of Canaan, as an eternal possession, and I will be their God." God also said to Abraham, see, I'm still doing it. "As for you, you and your offspring after you throughout all their generations are to keep my covenant. This is my covenant which you are to keep between me and you and your offspring after you. Every one of your males must be circumcised. Now, think with me here. How did Abraham know what circumcision was? Because this was a new thing with the Jews. It was new with the Jews, but the Gentile nations were doing circumcision. They weren't doing it as a covenant with God, but they were doing circumcision. You must circumcise the flesh of your foreskin to serve as a sign of a covenant between me and you. Throughout your generation, every male among you at 8 days old is to be circumcised. This includes a slave born in your house and one purchased with money from any foreigner. The one who is not your offspring, a slave born in your house, as well as one purchased with money, must be circumcised. My covenant will be in your flesh as an everlasting covenant. If any male is not circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin, that man will be cut off from his people. He has broken my covenant. God said to Abram, as for your wife Sarah, she will not be called Sarah, but Sarah will be her name. I will bless her indeed. I will give you a son by her. I will bless her, and she will produce nations, kings of peoples will come from her. Now, Abraham's listening to all this. Listen to his reaction. He fell on the ground one time before, but he's getting ready to do it again. Abram fell to the ground, laughed, and thought in his heart, "Can a child be born to a 100-year-old man? Can Sarah, a 90-year-old woman, give birth?" So Abraham said to God, "If only Ishmael could live in your presence." But God said, "No, your wife Sarah will bear you a son, and you will name him Isaac. I will confirm my covenant with him as an everlasting covenant for his offspring after him. As for Ishmael, I have heard you. I will certainly bless him. I will make him fruitful, and will multiply him greatly. He will father 12 tribal leaders, and I will make him into a great nation. But I will confirm my covenant with Isaac, whom Sarah will bear, and you at this time next year. When he finished talking with him, God withdrew from Abraham. Then Abraham took his son Ishmael and all the slaves born in his house or purchased with his money, every male among the members of Abraham's household, and he circumcised the flesh of their foreskin on that very day, as God had said for him to do. Abraham was 99 years old when the flesh of his foreskin was circumcised, and his son Ishmael was 13 years old when the flesh of his foreskin was circumcised. On that day, Abraham and his son Ishmael were circumcised, and all the men of his household, both slaves born in his house and those purchased with money from a foreigner, were circumcised with him. Now, as you recall, I hope you recall, in the book of Joshua, Joshua was told before they entered the promised land, God told him to circumcise all those who hadn't been circumcised. And do y'all remember what they had to do after that? Before they entered the promised land? They had to recover. There was a time of about 2 or 3 or 4 days where they just had to sit back and relax and recover. This is something, you know, I don't remember, I don't recall, but it's not a pleasant experience. That's the reason why God did it on the eighth day. While the child is still young, he doesn't remember. Does anybody in here ever remember being circumcised? No, it's not a pleasant experience. I cannot imagine being circumcised or circumcising yourself at 99 years old. But he was obedient. Did he pass the test? Tonight, he did. So, as we consider what we just read tonight, We need to first understand that a great deal of time has passed, at least in our thoughts on time. Between chapters 16 and 17, some commentators have said Abram walked in the land and did not hear from God for 13 years, calling this period 13 years of silence. What we may need to contemplate is that during these years, something may have happened. We can be assured, as we look at our own lives, that the test still came. But it may be that notable issues were not written by Moses as recorded. We're given the testimony of Abraham, and it's seen as a group. There would be a time gap, just as we see tonight, as if we were given our testimony. Spiritual events did happen in your life, they just weren't notable. Now, if I sit here and I gave my testimony, I was born May 3rd, 1970, my parents didn't go to church, blah, blah, blah. I mean, I've already skipped 14 years. Y'all with me? Did spiritual things happen in my life to get me through? Yeah, yeah. Were they notable to write or to give testimony about? In my eyes, no. So some scholars say it was 13 years of silence. Some people say that, you know, there just wasn't anything notable. That would be my suggestion, because God was dealing with Moses. I mean, listen, he was dealing with Abraham. He was being tested. Are you being tested on a weekly basis? Daily basis? Yeah, we all are. So, what did God say after 13 years? After this 13-year period of gap? Well, hold on a minute, Brother Kyle. Where are you getting this 13-year time gap thing? Let's look at chapter 16. Chapter 16, verse 15 says this. It says, "So Hagar gave birth to Abram's son, and Abram gave him the name Ishmael to the son Hagar had. Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bore Ishmael to him." Close the book. Or close that chapter, right? Chapter 17, verse 1. "When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him, saying, I am the Lord God Almighty." 13 years. There is your 13 years. Now, I wrote a reminder in between. Y'all can do that too. 13 years. Just to help you, you know, stay refreshed. Verse 1 tells us that God made a profound proclamation to Abram. Listen to this again. "The Lord appeared to him saying, I am God Almighty. Live in my presence and be devout." After 13 years of silence, that's the first words that you hear God speaking to Abram. This is translated from the word El Shaddai. El is the name of God, which means power. And the word Shaddai means mountain or breast that rises up from the plain. If we combine all these meanings together, Warren Wiersbe says, we have several ideas as to the true meaning, the all-powerful and all-sufficient God who can do anything and can meet any need. Do you realize, church, listen, do you realize that when you bow your head in prayer, this is who you're praying to? You do realize that. There are a lot of things about the Jewish tradition that intrigue me, that I'll look at and I'll just shake my head and I'll say, where in the world did they come up with that? Where in the world do they come? I mean, why do they do what they do? And Miss Desi, after you've read the Jewish Book of Why 1 and 2, you probably shake your head. I've never seen a more superstitious group of people in all my life. There's things that they do that I just shake my head. But one thing that they do that I think we don't do good enough is we don't stand in awe in the presence of a holy and a righteous God. We don't. The older generation, y'all can attest to this. There's things that go on in the church that ought not go on, that didn't go on back when you were children. Amen? Can I get a testimony here? And it shouldn't go on. What happened? We've lost our awe and our respect for God. So at the very beginning, God is making a proclamation to Abram that Abram knew, but he just wanted to get it, you know, clear to him once again who it was that was speaking to him. Now, why then did God start off with this dialogue with Abram such as this? Because God wanted Abram to know and to understand and believe that the one he was hearing had no limits to his power, and that he could trust his word to be true and to come to truth. What God was about to say needed Abram's complete and total attention. This is the best way to explain it. This is the best way to illustrate it. When you are trying to get clear, get your children to look at you, or to understand what you're about to say, Becky, you've probably done this. Look, I am your father. Look at me, I'm your father. It is setting a precedence of authority. That means I am your daddy, you better shut your mouth and listen to what I am about to say to you. Now, sometimes they don't. A lot of times they don't. When they get in their 20s, they really don't. But the precedence is still set there, and that's what God has just done. He's like, listen, I am the Lord God Almighty. There are no limits to my power. I'm getting ready to tell you something very important. You need to pay attention. And listen, just for the sake of those who take notes, God's trying to get our attention. This is something very important. If it was important for him to make this comment to Abraham, it's just as important for us. Amen? So he's given the proclamation. When God tells Abram to live in my presence and be devout. Did that kind of strike y'all? He announced who he was, and then he says, live in my presence and be devout. This isn't a new relationship. This is a long-running relationship. This is 13 or 14 years old relationship, if not longer. As a matter of fact, it's about 23 years old. Because last week it was 13 years, remember? Now we fast forward it, now it's 26 years, right? Why would God have to tell him to live in my presence and be devout? From this statement, we could wonder if something during those 13 years, Abram had done something that God did not like. Had he strayed away from God? We really don't know. All we have to go on is what God is saying, and this is to me is a statement of authority and of warning. A few minutes ago, he said, listen, I am the Lord God Almighty. He's saying, listen to me. If you look at this statement, he's saying, listen, do you hear me? You ever ask your children that? When you're trying to set them up for success, or you're trying to get them to hear what you're saying, because it's very important, you'll say, listen, I am your daddy. Listen to me. Right? Or I am your mother. Listen to me. That is what we're seeing tonight with this dialogue. Now, God now has Abram's full and undivided attention. And now that he does have that attention, God is going to give Abram some very important news. Now that you're listening, I'm going to tell you what I came for. So what has God told Abram? What has he told him? First thing he says is this. He says, I will establish my covenant between me and you, and I will multiply you greatly. Now, this is not the first time Abram has heard a statement such as this from God, but it is the first time we hear God say it in the fashion meaning it will soon come to pass. Abram's heard it two or three times now. We've talked about it. We've gone through it. We've skimmed it. We've gone into great detail about it. He's heard it. What happens when somebody tells you something over and over and over and over again over a period of time, but yet it never comes to pass? You doubt. You wonder. You speculate. Even it doesn't matter who the authority is. If it doesn't come to pass in your time frame or in the time frame that you think it ought to take place, you start to doubt. Doubt creeps in. So here again is another reason why God had to make the proclamation at the very beginning. I have no limits to my power, boy. You need to pay attention. So we see in verse 3, Abram's initial reaction. His initial reaction was to fall on the ground as in an act of fear or worship. He falls down to the ground. And this is what we're going to do when we find ourselves in the presence of a holy God. You do know that, right? We're going to fall on the ground. We have to wonder what the sound of the Lord's voice must have sounded like to Abram. If his voice thundered and rolled across the hills in an endless echo, whatever the reason Abram found himself on the ground, it is evident that he is now listening to what God is about to tell him. He's got his attention. God sees him in a prostrate position, falling down on the ground before him, and he was like, okay, now you're ready. Now you're ready. Can I tell you, listen, church, do you know why people say, I hadn't heard from God. I don't feel like I hear from God. Why don't you prostrate yourself before him? Why don't you fall down before him? Why don't you get on your hands and knees and just worship God for who he is? Well, Brother Kyle, why do I have to do that? Because he is the Almighty God. There are no limitations to who he is and what he is. He can do everything. Listen, whatever thought that just came in your mind, he knew it before it even came into your mind. He's God. He deserves our worship. Prostrate yourself before him. Fall down before him. Now, verse 4 through 8 tell us that God told Abram a second time in a short period of time that he was going to make a great nation from him. God then tells Abram that your name will no longer be Abram, eternal father, that's what Abram means, but your name will be Abraham, father of a multitude. God then goes on to tell Abraham that he was going to make many nations from him, that kings would come from him. God told him that the land he was residing would be the land of his people, and they would always be a part of the land as an eternal possession. Now let that sink in for a second. God is giving Abraham a promise way back here that the land will always be in your possession. This is an eternal thing that I'm giving you. This one statement should help us to realize why today there has been so much blood shed on and for this land. Why aren't they willing to give it up? I remember when I was a child and there was conflicts in the Gaza Strip. Y'all remember that? It seemed like you couldn't turn the TV on there for a long time on the world news where there wasn't some sort of confrontation, whether it be Israeli or whether it be Pakistani or on the Gaza Strip. They were fighting over a three-mile strip of land, constantly bickering over this piece of land. Why was it so important? This was an eternal covenant that God gave. He gave his people this piece of land, and they were willing to die over it. Why? Because God gave it to them. And you've got a group of people saying, God didn't give you that. Yeah, he did. I mean, it's not like something superficial that somebody gave you. This is something that God gave you, and they weren't willing to give it up. Levitical laws tell the Jewish people that they're not to sell their land. Even if they lend their land out after 25 years, it returns back to the rightful owner. Right? Y'all with me? Everybody awake? Thank you. The second thing we see in verses 9 through 14, God sealing the covenant he had just made with Abraham with the seal of circumcision. Now, I'm not trying to question God, but I could have found a whole lot more ways that were a lot less painful than this seal of circumcision. But this is God. Do you hear me? Do you understand that when we make a covenant with God, that it's going to be painful for us? It is. We have this facade, this fairy tale that once we accept Christ as our personal Savior, everything's going to be wonderful. No, it's not. It was never meant to be. It's a sacrifice. You're giving up. You're turning your back on your world, on this world, and you're turning your face on God. Listen, you're going to be ridiculed. You're going to be laughed at. You're going to be mocked at. But it's worth it. Why? Because you've made a covenant with God. It's worth it. God was going to give all to Abraham, and all Abraham had promised, and now Abraham was going to have to do his part by obeying what God was telling him to do. Now think with me here for a second. I can't imagine putting a knife to any part of my body, and I'll just leave it there. I can't imagine putting a knife to any part of my body, but God is asking him to put a knife to a certain part of his body at 99 years old. This has been with him his whole life. And now he's asking him to do this. Warren Wiersbe says, Abram's part to the covenant was to obey God. And it was a hard thing he was asking him to do. This wasn't an easy thing. To obey God and to mark each male in his house with the same covenant. Now, even if it was easy for Abraham to do this, can you imagine, you know, Father Abraham knocking on your door and saying, hey, look, guys, I just talked with God. And he told me that I have to take something from you. Can you imagine having this conversation, Brother Frank? I'm going to be honest with you. You're going to have to do some real fast talking. You're going to have to persuade. I mean, listen, show me something. That had to be even harder than circumcising yourself. For the descendants of Abraham, circumcision was not an option. It was an obligation. The covenant people must bear the mark of the covenant. For it was God who chose them, not them who chose God. Unfortunately, the Jewish people eventually made this ritual of circumcision. The eight-day-old boy means salvation. They've come up with that. It's not salvation, which it's not. Circumcision was a guarantee that you are accepted by God because of this covenant. The Jews did not realize that circumcision stood for something much deeper. Listen, y'all get this or you're going to miss the whole meaning. The person's relationship to God. God wants us to circumcise our hearts. Our hearts to be totally devoted to Him in love and obedience. The world's missed it. We've missed it. Do you know why there's so much protesting? Do you know why there's people protesting those who are protesting? And people who are standing on outside looking at people shaking their head and protesting everybody who's protesting against everybody. I mean, is it not madness? I mean, is it just me? I'm sick of the hate. I'm sick of the nastiness. It's one of my favorite movies from childhood is The Green Mile. Anybody y'all watch The Green Mile? Do y'all remember when John Coffey was getting ready to be taken to be executed? Y'all seen the movie, right? And Tom Hanks comes to him and he says, listen, you know, if there's anything I could do, what could I do? And John Coffey looked at him and he says, listen, boss, he said, I'm tired of all the hatred. He said, I can feel it. Every single day I have to see the ugliness of people. Church, listen, I can't make people change. I can't. But I can change me. Do you hear me? Now, this is a little off base, but you know how you can change the world, change Savannah? Be nice. Just be nice. Be nice. When people are mean to you, I don't care what color, it doesn't matter. When they're mean to you, you be nice to them. All the time. Listen, I don't care what color you are or who you came from, everybody's experienced some form of racism. Everybody has. What do? You be nice. That's not who you are. That's not who God made you to be. Well, Brother Kyle, what are you talking about? If you are a Christian, listen, God has circumcised your heart. I don't understand hate anymore. I really don't. I don't know how people can hate. But they do. And church, listen to me. As bad as it seems now, it's going to get worse. As you heard me, as I preached through the book of Revelation, we're being conditioned on a daily basis to accept things that are going to take place during the time of tribulation. It's going to get worse. It's going to get nasty. We need to, with our circumcised hearts, listen, we need to love people. Love people to Jesus where they are. Verse 15 through 22 tells us that God tells Abraham that the name of his wife has now been changed from Sarai, which means princess, to Sarah, which means noble woman. God told Abraham, that she would give him a son. The reaction we see from Abraham in verse 17 is the natural reaction any man would have, being that this was not the first time Abraham had heard this promise. A great deal of time had passed in the eyes of the human Abraham. And the fact that God had promised him this before and still no child brought about laughter to Abraham. Now I want you to think about something for a second. I'm going to go ahead and tell you. I'm going to tell you again here in a second. I don't have the answer. I just want you to think about this for a second. Tonight we see Abraham laugh at God, fell down on the ground and laughed at God for giving him this news that we don't see God punish him, but we see Zechariah question the angel of the Lord, and the angel of the Lord struck him silent until John was born. Y'all remember that? Pretty much the same thing, except for Zechariah didn't fall on the ground and laugh when the angel of the Lord came and said, look, you know, you and your wife, Elizabeth, y'all are going to have a son. Didn't see all that. All he did was question him, and he was struck dumb. Abraham fell on the ground and laughed. We don't see any punishment. I have a question. I want to ask God about that when we get to heaven. Now, some of y'all are going to go home and try to find the answer. I don't know. I can't ever find one. Abraham then asked, can a child be born to a 100-year-old man and a 90-year-old woman? In the day that we live in, is it possible? Anything's possible with God, right? Is it probable? No. Y'all remember last week when I told you that God was not physically going to kill them, but he was going to spiritually. He was going to get them to a spiritual deadness where they weren't relying on anything and anybody but him. Guess where they were? They were there tonight. Abraham was there tonight. How in the world can a child come from a 99-year-old man? Remember, it was possible because he had relations with Hagar when he was 86? And it was still possible then. It was still possible. It was crazy, but it was still possible. But now he's saying, how in the world can this happen? You're giving me a promise. How can it happen with a 99-year-old man? A 100-year-old man and a 90-year-old woman. God had taken them out of the equation. And church, this was going, Isaac was going to be a miracle child. A miracle child. Abraham makes a statement in verse 18. If only Ishmael could live in your presence. This was not possible because he was conceived out of the will of God. He could not be the heir as God had not persuaded them to do what they had done. We see in verse 19 through 22, God is making his covenant with Abraham again through Sarah. He does promise Abraham that Ishmael will be great and make a great nation would come from him. Well, what great nation came from him? Muslim nation, the Arab nation. There's still conflict today, is there not? There will be until Christ returns. But Isaac would be the rightful heir to the nation, and he would be born this time next year. And then God withdrew and left Abraham tonight. Now, at this point when he withdrew, if we stopped right here and we didn't look any further, we'd wonder, okay, what did Abraham do? Now, at this point, he can either do the right thing or he can do the wrong thing. Church, in every application in our life, God gives us an opportunity. He gives us a calling. And at some point in time in our calling, we can choose to do the right thing or do the wrong thing. There's so many people that I've come across since I've entered the ministry that have come up to me and said, listen, I really thought that God was calling me years ago to enter the ministry. Well, what happened is my question. I ran. I didn't give in to God. I ran away from God. Listen, when God calls you to something, he is going to equip you to get through something. He's going to give you the everything you need to do everything he's calling you to do, just as he's given Abraham tonight. So what do we see next? What do we see next? We see in verse 23 through 27, Abraham passing the test of God tonight as he was obedient to circumcise himself and all those who were in his household. Now, I don't think that this is supposed to be comical. I don't think this is supposed to be funny. But I mean, as I sat in my office and I thought about this, Gary, I can't imagine. I mean, people already think you're crazy when you say, "Listen, God spoke to me, and you know this is what he told me to do." But can you imagine knocking on somebody's door and saying, "Look, God has told me that he's wanting to make a covenant between us and all times, and he's going to accept us, but we've got to become circumcised, and I'm here to circumcise you tonight." That's a task I don't think I'd want to sign up for. And it's a task that I'm sure that a lot of people, if it was given to them, they'd say, you know, I'm okay. I'm not going over to Jack's house and telling him, you know, "All right, Jack, come on." I just can't do that. But our scripture tonight tells us that Abraham was obedient. Did he like it? I'm sure he probably didn't. I'm sure there's many aspects of that task that he did not like. But he was obedient. He was obedient to God. He passed the test. Tonight, listen. The lesson that we can learn tonight is one that we see all throughout the Old Testament and into the New Testament. Obedience is greater than sacrifice. When God calls you to something, you are to do as he says, and when you do, the covenant with God is complete and not until then. What are you saying, Brother Kyle? What's God asking you to do? What has he called you to do? Until you complete the task, the covenant isn't complete. It's undone. It's unbroken. Will you do what God has called you to do tonight? It's not going to be easy. Not going to be fun all the time. He might call you to South Carolina to preach. Called me to Georgia. Will you be faithful to God? Let's all stand, heads bowed and eyes closed. Father, as we come to you tonight, we pray that you'd forgive us for the many times that we haven't been faithful to you. But Lord, we're a people that are hard-headed. We pray that you would not leave us, not walk away from us. Lord, we know that you're always with us. Help us, Lord, to find our way back to you. And what a great message that you've given to us tonight. Lord, you knew that we were going to be going through this years ago, knowing that it was going to be the last message that I preached before revival. God, help us to be obedient to you. Help us to listen to you. Lord, as we head towards this next week, Lord, let our hearts be revived for you. Let us be all that you created us to be. that we might give glory to your name, that which you created us to do. In Jesus' name I do pray. With all heads bowed and all eyes closed, let's all stand.